Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Preacher Boys podcast. I make this show for you, and I hope that you really enjoy it. I have a lot of people that ask me how they can support the show financially, and you can do that by heading over to patreon.com/preacherboys. You're going to get access to exclusive content, including early releases of episodes. I've got a couple episodes right now that have been released at least a month early over on Patreon. You've got access to things like unique merch, depending on what tier you join, and you get access to some behind the scenes content that I'm posting within the group. So head over to patreon.com/preacherboys and become a member over there today. Every single supporter helps make this show a little bit more possible, especially as I continue to add additional episodes and content every single week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get back to the show.
Trigger warning. This podcast contains descriptions of various abusive situations. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to the Preacher Boys podcast, a podcast shedding light on decades of mental, physical, and sexual abuse within the independent fundamental Baptist movement. The testimonies shared on this podcast are told from the personal experience and perspective of the survivors. Not all legal outcomes are known or final. Any suspect is presumed innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. Now, here is your host, Eric Skwarzynski.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I have two amazing people here today, Shelley and John. Welcome back to the show. Together, combined forces today.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, glad to have you on. And John, you were just on recently, so people probably remember your episode. Shelley, you were on, like, you're one of the OGs of Preacher Boys. You're like way, way early. And I feel bad because, you know, it's good because it stuck with me so much. I feel like it was recent, but I feel really bad that it was like the last time we hopped on was like 3 years ago. So welcome back.
Yeah. Thanks. It's good to be back. Yeah.
So we're all older and wiser since the last time that we talked. And John, in our conversation recently, we talked a lot about like the power of stories. And as a creative myself, I resonated a lot with that part of the conversation. And I wanted to kind of just, as we're all sitting here, kind of talk about what sharing your story means for you. Because it's one thing to sit down by yourself and journal or work through a book, you know, or do something that's helpful. But what's the difference of doing that versus sharing your story in a public setting? And what has that meant to each of you? And John, if you want to kick that off, and then Shelley, answer after him.
I think there's something very safe about obviously doing something where you're just sitting around, you're writing in a notebook, and it's just for your eyes only. And I think that is an extremely important part of the process. And it has been for me, at least. In fact, I've had many conversations with people saying, you know, if you really want to change your life, in my opinion, there's nothing more powerful that you can do than to sit and just write consistently in a notebook and be completely honest with yourself about where you are, where you've been, what you want, what you're doing now, how you're behaving or how you're acting, and really like digging down into yourself. I think there's such incredible transformative power in writing in a journal. And once you get through all of that, I think then there's a whole other level to be discovered by sharing your story. You know, and I think we talked about this last time. You know, part of the biggest thing for me in sharing is helping other people realize that they're not alone, because I thought for so long I was alone. I was the only one that these things happened to. I was the only one who went through this. And that takes a different level of bravery, I think, and a different level of growing and growing through to reach that point. And so to me, that's the big difference. And being able to take that out into the world and show it to people and say, this is what I did. This was my experience. Here's what I went through. And understanding that you're most likely going to reach someone else who is sitting there having those same thoughts that you had of, I'm alone. I'm the only one. And being able to expose them to the truth, which is, you're never alone. You're never the first person that this has happened to. You're never going to be the last person that this has happened to. And just giving somebody else permission to feel free to tell their own story, or to at least come to terms with their own story, so they can go and do that work, whether that's behind closed doors or in a public setting. I don't think there's anything greater that we do as artists, as, you know, and particularly for me as an actor, reaching into those places and saying, here, let me take this burden of emotion, this burden of feeling, and let me put it on display for you so that you don't have to carry that weight by yourself. And I can hopefully, you know, if you know, the goal is that I'm hopefully helping walk you through that rocky path so that you don't have to do it by yourself.
Yeah. Wow. So I don't know that I can build on the meaningfulness, you know, better than what John has just talked about, but I can share my journey a little bit. When I first came on Preacher Boys, it was 2020, and for 10 years in private, I had been using the word cult, and I had talked to my family that amount of time with that word, and like my immediate, you know, family, my husband and children. But it was really seeing you, Eric, and what you had done. I think it was 2019 where I launched my third book, and I was like, now I need a new project. And I could not get past my journals and memoir writing, and yet I was so afraid. I was like, this can't be my next project. I cannot write about this experience. I've not even used the word cult in public. And finding Preacher Boys and hearing the stories and seeing that somebody your age who was, you know, like years behind me in this situation had the same experience, it almost put an urgency to it and made me understand that, oh, this is why these stories matter, is because I can now be brave enough to say, yeah, me too.
No, I love that. And I think that's one of the important parts of these stories too, is what you just mentioned, is there's echoes of things that happen over and over again. And unfortunately, situations and stories that have been repeated several times over the last decade, several is an understatement. And, you know, that was one of the things that kickstarted Preacher Boys, was I saw a story that had happened that year with Sarah Jackson's story. I've talked about it before, and it echoed the story that I had stumbled across several years earlier in high school that got me questioning the denomination. And my thought then was, this is still happening after 6-7 years. And then I knew from studying it, it happened decades before that. It's like, at what point do we stop and talk about this? And, you know, newspapers can do so much, and, you know, magazines can do so much, but at the end of the day, there's not time nor resources for them to tackle these stories the way they need to in a long form way. That has to be survivors. Like, that has to be people who experienced it in whatever capacity, or are willing to advocate on behalf of survivors in any capacity, and do that in various different forms, using their skills, using acting, using writing. You know, if I tried those two things, it probably would not be effective. Using the easiest form, which is plugging in a microphone and just talking and figuring it out along the way. And, you know, I think it's important to keep this repetition going. And one of the things that I love is there's a diversity of those voices. You know, I mentioned acting, I mentioned writing, I mentioned podcasters, I mentioned fill in the blank. There's so many different ways people express themselves. And it kind of leads into what I wanted to talk to you guys about today, which is this story jam that's coming up. And just reading the description, it sounds like an exciting mesh of different voices doing just that. So talk to me a little bit about what is story jam, because there's a brand new word. Everybody here listening is like, what are we talking about? What is story jam? And what was kind of the origin story of that?
Yeah, so it's really the brainchild of one of the co-founders of I Got Out, Lisa, who just dreamt of a place where people can tell their stories, which, you know, gave birth to the hashtag. And of course, we've seen cult experts use it, and so many people share their story online with the hashtag I Got Out. But she and I met in person, and she was coming to the St. Louis area, which is where I live. And so we said, let's meet up. And I had recently connected with another podcaster helping people from evangelical church abuse. And so I was like, maybe you guys should meet too. And basically, Tears of Eden was having a conference, and Lisa had this idea to have this live storytelling event And once Catherine, the founder of the other organization, suggested, hey, why don't we combine forces and, you know, make this a real thing? And so that's really the birthplace of all of that and how it happened. It's going to be just a beautiful, fun evening with a cocktail hour where we have some authors coming, people who have written memoirs about their cult experience. Lisa Cohn will be there, who wrote about To the Moon and Back, about her experience in the Moonies. Other people who have been like featured on Kelly Clarkson's show, Shanty Pants, if you follow her, she's going to be there, one of the performers. I'm just really excited about people being able to come and share their stories, but not just them. It's going to be regular people like me who don't often have the platform to tell a story and say, hey, this was my experience, and kind of express themselves artistically in this way. So we have a whole lineup that you can follow if you follow on Instagram. I got out, you can kind of see they're featuring people on a regular basis that will be involved. I think John was actually on there. So
John, this was really your brainchild. I know you were in this from the very beginning. This is, you're the mastermind behind this event.
Yeah. Pulling all the strings over here. Not even close.
I'm curious how many people are going to be at this event. You mentioned there's a variety of people. How many are in this lineup? How many cocktails will people be going through in this evening?
I mean, I'm sure that the event owners hope a lot of cocktails will be drunk. But since there will be alcohol consumed, we also have counselors standing by just because, you know, triggers and cult survivors.
Yeah.
So everything has been thought through. The venue is not a large one. It is the Improv Shop in St. Louis, and there is a capacity of 130 in the main auditorium. So that's how many tickets we have to sell. We are really excited about that. And then the performers themselves, I think we have a lineup of 12.
Awesome. Yeah, that's super cool. If you're listening right now, I mean, definitely head to the show notes and grab a ticket because they're going to go very quickly. I wish I was in the area because I would definitely be there. And in the future, if you guys do this again, I would definitely love to make that a plan to head out that way. I am curious too. I know this is an event where you have speakers, but you also have sponsorships as well, which is a really cool opportunity for people to support this who aren't in the area, who are business owners or, you know, even nonprofits, I think, that want to get in front of this. This is your ideal kind of target. How can they get involved and what's the best way for them to kind of get associated with the event, even if they're not physically present?
Yeah, like nonprofits, therapists, people who are a good resource for cult survivors are ideal. We have openings in our program for ads, so you can either contact me directly or you can go to org. You can tell them. You can go to the website and
you can go to igotout.org/story-jam.
There it is. Okay.
Wait, that hyphen is going to throw one off.
You know? It's that stupid hyphen. Yes. Anyway, so you're the professional podcaster, so I can defer. But yeah, that's really the best way. There's information. You can contact us and let us know that you are interested in joining us in a sponsorship.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'd encourage you, you know, like you mentioned, if you're a therapist, if you're running, I mean, any kind of organization that has any kind of connection. And honestly, I mean, any corporate sponsor, you have customers who this would relate to. Like, it's just, if you have any size company, you're coming across people you probably don't even know that would benefit from something like this. So definitely check out igotout.org/story-jam. Do not forget the hyphen. It is story-jam, and check that out. I'm really excited for people to check out this event. I think it's going to be extremely valuable. And is this something that you're planning on doing in the future? Is this something you're planning on potentially even streaming in the future and getting in front of more people? Where do you see this going over the next couple of years? Because I think it's a cool concept that could, I mean, it could be like a kind of TED approach where it's in different states and different people facilitating. What's kind of the long-term plan?
Yeah, look at you. See, that's stuff that we have been discussing. So yes, it is an annual event, even though when that was voted to be so, and I was like the chairman of the the Story Jam board, I was like,
let's do one first, right? Like, let's get that done.
Let me get through this one and we'll discuss maybe later. But yes, whether I'm there or not, it will be an annual event, and they would like to do it in diverse cities around the nation, which is great because it gives, you know, survivors a chance to get to places closer to them. We have discussed streaming as well because it's, you know, we're brand new and we're just really trying to get IGOT out on its feet as a nonprofit organization. So all the proceeds from this evening will go back into establishing IGOT out as a nonprofit organization. The Improv Shop in St. Louis has actually donated their space. So shout out to them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. And they are cutting us a check at the end of the evening for the ticket sales. So they're only benefiting off of the liquor sales. So shout out to them. They're amazing. And people are, you know, ready to partner with organizations like this. So it's just, it's really exciting. So yes, everything's in the works for an annual event. If we need to come to your area, then, you know, let us know.
Maybe it's Vegas. It's the most easy home run idea ever is to go do something in Vegas. So yes, we got to get that happening next year, you know, but,
I have a little bit of pull. I'll vote for Vegas.
Take that to the board. Vegas. That's the easiest. It's the funniest thing about living in Vegas is that everybody's always coming through Vegas. The last thing they want to do is see you because they're going straight to the strip to go do so. So you're like, hey, you're coming to Vegas. I'm there for a weekend and I'm ducked down and I'm not going to see anybody. But Vegas would be an awesome spot to do that. And I know of some other people in Vegas that would probably be great fits for this as well. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this goes. And if it goes bad, we don't ever have to talk about it. We'll get the one done. We're good. But I have a feeling this will be very successful. And I think it's going to be a great thing for people moving forward.
It'll be great. You know, we have Hoyt Richards coming. Shout out to Hoyt for he's going to be emceeing. He's the one who does What the Flock, the podcast.
I've never heard of that.
Have you not?
I need to write that down.
Yeah. He was the first male supermodel in the 70s. So
wow.
He's got just a really interesting cult story. So it's gonna be fun. It'll be good. Yeah. It'll be good.
That's super cool.
And the Jon Snow will be there.
So. The Jon Snow will be there. John, what are you most excited about coming to this event?
Well, I'm excited to meet everyone in person. I mean, other obviously than my sister, who I definitely know. But
you're still excited for that as well.
Of course. obviously. Anytime I come home to St. Louis, I get to see my family. I get to see, you know, the high school friends that I still have contact with and that kind of thing. It's always wonderful to come home. But I'm really looking forward to meeting everybody that's a part of the I Got Out organization. Mm-hmm. This is where the weird artistic instinct for me kicks in, where I'm terrified and I'm excited by the terror of getting up on stage again and telling a story. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've done that. I did two different iterations of a one-man show about all of my stuff, the way I grew up, the sexual abuse, all of that stuff. And so I'm looking forward to telling a short story again on stage in front of an audience. It's been, 5, 6, 7 years. So It'll be good to feel that fear yeah. again and get up there and push through all of that and find out what happens as I go through a 5-minute story.
Sure. So. Sure. Yeah. I think that's probably my last real question as to the function of the event, but you've got so many different people sharing. They all have different probably tone and feel and vibes to the way they're going to present. How much creative freedom does everybody have as far as sharing their story? Was it, you know, I'm assuming there's like time constraints, but like, are they really free within that bubble to really share however they see fit?
Yeah, we thought it was important to kind of stick with the tone of I Got Out and let people tell their story. So there was a lot of freedom. Like, please come and share your experience. We do have a time limit. And we also
very
have,
important you, when yes. you get survivors in a room, you got to have some time limits on stories, you know?
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, we only have the venue for a certain amount of time. Right. So, but we also have Roberta Blevins. I'm sure you're yeah. familiar with her. Yeah. So she is the, gosh, I probably stumbled over my own title, but whatever the title is for somebody who puts direction in a show, like the run-up show, she has a team of people working with her to kind of lay all that out. She will not be present for the event, sadly, but she has been really involved in helping us with that. And as you know, with her experience, you know, she's really great at that kind of thing. So it's going to be great. And, you know, hopefully we're not going to constrain anyone from telling what they want to say, but we will be like, you can only say it in this amount of time.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That'll be interesting. That's the stuff I would be very curious about is like seeing how that flows. Like, cause I know there's some people that, I mean, I even go with myself, like there's things that are so funny to me that I like, I've never even said on this show that are like, I think that would be hilarious and that would crush on stage somewhere. But then it's like, then you've got like the other approach to it, which is like the very sensitive, somber approach, which both I think are valid in different formats. So I would be curious to see that mix and that melting pot of people approaching it in different ways. That's going to be really interesting. And yeah, I'm feeling FOMO just talking about it right now. So I know people listening are as well. So again, I'm going to reiterate, go to igotout.org/story/, goodness gracious, let me rephrase that. I'm not a professional. Go to igotout.org/story-jam to get your tickets and check it out. And be sure to drop a comment on any of their stuff. Let them know what you're interested in. Help them as they kind of plan future events. And be sure, of course, to comment that you would love to come to Vegas for one of these events in the future, because I think that would be the key to this being like the biggest success ever. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I wanted to make sure to extend this platform to share about it. Consider this my sponsorship of the event. Really hope people go check this out. I love you guys. I love what you do. I hate that we do not connect more often, but I'm happy to support anything you're involved with. If Shelly or John are part of it, it's got my backing 100%. So, yeah, thank you so much. Is there anything you want to add to that? Is there anything else aside from go buy tickets or go sponsor? Any other calls to action you want to throw in at the end?
I mean, not really. Thank you so much. I just want to thank you. And you've been such a great support throughout all of this. And be careful what you ask for, though, because the only way I got involved in any of this stuff is because I was like, well, St. Louis is pretty giving and we could probably find a space. Yeah. So I'd be like, yeah, go do that.
Yeah, Vegas is great, Eric. Go get us a venue and we're good to go.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, yeah, thanks, Eric, for having us on and doing this. But also, I just want to give a shout out to I Got Out being this really incredible organization that was founded and is being run primarily by women. And I find that completely unsurprising, considering the patriarchal nature of most every cult there is and has been. Right. And I think that's really powerful. And I think that needs to be acknowledged, because the women that have come out to really bring this together need to be applauded and deserve all the glory and the attention, because I think that takes an incredible amount of courage, especially coming out of those patriarchal institutions.
I think that's huge. It's probably why they're succeeding so quickly is that they're much more well run than many cults. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure people listening have seen the I Got Out hashtag blowing up. And I remember when it launched, I was like, holy smokes, like this is everywhere. And I'm seeing people that I'm following getting on board with this, and I'm excited to see where it goes and how it grows in the future. And yeah, for anybody listening, I mean, even if you're not able to make it to the event, I know, you know, this is a niche location. So, you know, if you're in 49 other states listening to this, you may not be able to make it. But just connect with I Got Out. I mean, go on social media, connect, see where stuff is in the future. Again, if you don't say something, it's probably not going to happen. So feel free to support remotely, give ideas, contribute. And I'm happy to see where things go in the future. And I love that. I love the hashtag specifically because it, yes, it's connected to a nonprofit. Yes, it's connected to something that's going to grow into something larger and larger. But I love that separated from the movement itself, there's this hashtag, much like Me Too, or much like some of these other hashtags that have risen up that people can connect over. And without having to sign some document saying I'm part of this group, like we're all part of this community. And I think that's a really, really powerful thing. So thank you both for coming on and chatting. I'll hit the stop button and we can just talk off mic for a second. But I really appreciate you coming on and I'm looking forward to seeing this event come together.
Thanks so much, Eric.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
Thank you for listening to the Preacher Boys podcast. If you appreciated the content on the show, please leave a review on iTunes and don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the handle @PreacherBoysDoc.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.